Do I have an original thought in my head? My bald head. Maybe if I were happier, my hair wouldn't be falling out. Life is short. I need to make the most of it. Today's the first day of the rest of my life. I'm a walking cliche. I really need to go to the doctor, have my leg checked. There's something wrong. A bump. The dentist called again. I'm way overdue. If I stopped putting things off, I would be happier. All I do is sit on my fat ass. If my ass wasn't fat, I would be happier. I wouldn't have to wear these shirts with the tails out all the time. Like that's fooling anyone. Fat ass. I should start jogging again. 5 miles a day. Really do it this time. Maybe rock climbing. I need to turn my life around. What do I need to do? I need to fall in love. I need to have a girlfriend. I need to read more, improve myself. What if I learned Russian or something, or took up an instrument? I could speak Chinese. I'd be the screenwriter who speaks Chinese and plays the oboe. That would be cool. I should get my hair cut short. Stop trying to fool myself and everyone else and think I have a full head of hair. How pathetic is that? Just be real, confident. Isn't that what women are attracted to? Men don't have to be attractive. But that's not true, especially these days. Almost as much pressure on men as there is on women these days. Why should I be made to feel I have to apologize for my existence? Maybe it's my brain chemistry. Maybe that's what's wrong with me. Bad chemistry. All my problems and anxiety can be reduced to a chemical imbalance or some kind of misfiring synapses. I need to get help for that. But I'll still be ugly, though. Nothing's gonna change that.
Shut up! Okay? Let's really try today to solve our camera problem. Keep between take time at an absolute minimum. These masks are really hot, okay? I want to be very well heard on that from everybody. Don't fuss unless it's absolutely important to the shot, okay? I don't say that for me. I say that for the people sitting here in the 400 pounds of rubber. I like my dress. Okay?
Folks, you better heed that advice. Okay, heed that advice. Stand by for picture.
Have her rotate around the table a little bit further.
You're in the eye line. Can you please go off the stage?
Thanks. Yeah, just
stop in the 6 footer.
What am I doing here? Why did I bother to come here today? Nobody even seems to know my name. I've been on this planet for 40 years, and I'm no closer to understanding a single thing. Why am I here? How did I get here? There's a bump. I'm starting to sweat. Stop sweating. I've got to stop sweating. Can she see it dripping down my forehead? Oh, she looked at my hairline. She thinks I'm bald.
We think you're great.
Oh, wow. Thanks. That's nice to hear.
We all just loved the Malkovich script.
Thanks.
Such a unique voice. Boy, I'd love to find a portal into your brain.
Trust me, it's no fun.
So, tell me your thoughts on this crazy little project of ours.
First, I think it's a great book.
LaRoche is a fun character, isn't he?
Absolutely. And Orlean makes orchids so fascinating. Plus her musings on Florida and orchid poaching, Indians. It's great sprawling New Yorker stuff. And I'd want to remain true to that. You know, I'd want to let the movie exist rather than be artificially plot-driven.
Great! I guess I'm not exactly sure what that means.
Oh. I'm not sure I know what that means either. Yeah, I just don't want to ruin it by making it a Hollywood thing, you know, like an orchid heist movie or something, you know, or you know, changing the orchids into poppies and turning it into a movie about drug running, you know. Why can't there be a movie simply about flowers?
I guess we thought that maybe Susan, Orlean, and LaRoche could fall in love.
Okay,
and
but I'm saying it's like I don't want to cram in sex or guns or car chases, you know, or characters, you know, learning profound life lessons or growing or coming to like each other or overcoming obstacles to succeed in the end. You know, I mean, it's the book isn't like that, and life isn't like that. You know, it just isn't. And I feel very strongly about this.
John LaRoche is a tall guy, skinny as a stick, pale-eyed, slouch-shouldered, sharply handsome, despite the fact he's missing all his front teeth. I went to Florida 2 years ago to write a piece for The New Yorker. It was after reading a small article about a white man and three Seminole men arrested with rare orchids they'd stolen out of a place called the Fakahatchee Strand State Preserve.
As natural selection works solely by and for the good of each being, all corporeal and mental endowments will tend to progress towards perfection. It's interesting to contemplate the entangled.
Polly Reza, Lynn and I. A ghost. Cut her down, Russell.
Hey, may I ask you gentlemen what you have in those pillowcases?
Yes, sir, you absolutely may.
Okay, then, I'm asking.
Well, okay, then. Let's see. Got five kinds of bromeliad, one peperomia, nine orchid varieties,
about 130 plants all told, which my colleagues here removed from the swamp.
You are aware it's illegal to remove plants or animals from the state-owned land.
Yeah, and don't forget, these plants are all endangered, sir. Every one of them.
Exactly. That's exactly the issue. This is a state preserve.
Yes, sir. It is.
But
and my colleagues are all Seminole Indians. Did I mention that? You're familiar, I'm sure, with the state of Florida versus James E. Billy. So you know that even though Seminole Chief Billy killed a Florida Panther, won a, 40 in the entire world?
40.
State couldn't successfully prosecute him because, you know, he's an Indian and it's his right. As repugnant as you and I as white conservationists might find his action. But not to mention the failed attempts on three separate occasions to prosecute Seminoles for poaching palm fronds, which I believe they used to thatch the roofs of their traditional chicky huts. How about that with the chicky huts, right?
Yeah, he's right. That's exactly what we use them for, chicky huts.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, but I don't... I can't let you fellas leave yet. Just hold on there a minute.
Okay.
Charles, is that you? Did you eat lunch? I had that shrimp cocktail in the fridge. Was it yours?
I hope not. I couldn't remember, so I ate it.
Maybe we should write our names on our food items from now on. What do you think?
Which was you?
My back. Hey, Charles, you'll be glad. I have a plan to get me out of your house pronto.
The job is a plan. Is your plan a job?
Drum roll, please. I'm going to be a screenwriter, like you.
Okay, I know you think this is just one of my get-rich-quick schemes, but I'm doing it right this time. I'm taking a 3-day seminar, and it's only $500.
Screenwriting seminars are bullshit.
In theory, I agree with you, but this one's different. This one's highly regarded in the industry.
Donald, don't say industry.
I'm sorry, I forgot. Charles, this guy knows screenwriting. People come from all over to study with him. I'll pay you back, buddy, just as soon as
Let me explain something to you.
Okay.
Anybody who says he's got the answer is going to attract desperate people, be it in the world of religion...
I just need to lie down while you explain this to me.
Sorry, I apologize. Okay, go ahead. Okay, go.
There are no rules, Donald. And anybody who says there are
not rules. Principles. McKee writes that a rule says you must do it this way. A principle says this works and has through all remembered time. The script I'm starting, it's about flowers.
Oh.
Nobody's ever done a movie about flowers before. So there are no guidelines.
What about Flowers for Algernon?
Well, that's not about flowers.
Oh, okay.
And it's not a movie.
Sorry, I never saw it. Okay, keep going.
Look, my point is that those teachers are dangerous if your goal is to try to do something new. And a writer should always have that goal. Writing is a journey into the unknown. It's not building, one of your model airplanes.
McKee is a former Fulbright scholar, Charles. Are you a former Fulbright scholar?
Say something. I dragged her here tonight, now I'm not saying anything. Make her laugh. Say something funny.
I hate parties, Amelia. Why do we come here?
Because we hip young trendsetters on the make, aren't we?
More like old losers sitting on the floor, maybe.
Oh, Jesus, Charlie, speak for yourself. Okay. Charlie, we're going to fix you up. We're going to solve the whole Charlie Kaufman mess for once and for all.
Okay.
Let me see. What do you need? What? Well, I'm glad you took the Orchid script.
Yeah,
I think it will be good for you to get out of your head. I think it will ground you to think about the bigger picture, about nature and stuff.
Yeah, I still can't believe they gave me that job. I mean, after that lunch, I was sweating insanely. I was ranting. It was a mess.
Oh, you were just nervous because she was pretty, that's all.
How do you know she was pretty?
Well, after 8 months of knowing you, I think I get what makes you sweat. Well, whatever. We're moving on. What next? Oh, you need a new get-up. This whole flannel shirt thing, it's not really doing anything for you.
Thanks for coming out with me tonight, Amelia. To begin, how to start? I'm hungry. I should get coffee. Coffee would help me think. But I should write something first, then reward myself with coffee. Coffee and a muffin. Okay, so I need to establish the themes. Maybe banana nut. That's a good muffin.
Orchid hunting is a mortal occupation. Victorian-era orchid hunter William Arnold drowned on a collecting expedition. Osmers vanished without a trace in Asia. Augustus Margary survived toothache, rheumatism, pleurisy, and dysentery, only to be murdered when he completed his mission and traveled beyond Bamo. LaRoche loved orchids, but I came to believe he loved the difficulty and fatality of getting them almost as much as he loved the orchids themselves.
I've been a professional horticulturist for like 12 years. I own my own plant nursery, which was destroyed by the hurricane.
I'm a professional plant lecturer. I've given over like 60 lectures on the cultivation of plants. I'm a published author, both in magazine and book form, and I have extensive experience with orchids and the asexual micropropagation of orchids under aseptic cultures. That's laboratory work. It's not at all like your nursery work. I'm probably the smartest person I know.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Mr. LaRoche, I'm Susan Orlean. I'm a writer for The New Yorker. It's a magazine that...
I'm familiar with The New Yorker. The New Yorker?
Yes,
The New Yorker, right?
that's right. I just am very interested in doing a piece on your situation down here.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. You want to put this in? I don't care what goes on here. I'm right, and I'll take it all the way to Supreme Court, because that judge can screw herself. That for real would go in?
Absolutely.
We open on State Road 29. A battered white van speeds along, making a sharp, skinny right into the Fakahatchee Strand State Preserve. The driver of the van is a skinny man with no front teeth. This is John LaRoche. I need a break.
Oh, I really loved the Sibelius violin concert.
Yeah, me too. It was great. The end was a little weird, though, but...
Oh, no, God! It was passionate. It was exultant. The soloist was amazing. Such beautiful tones. So precise. God, it blows my mind. Oh, I wish I could play like that.
You do?
Oh, Charlie. I don't. I'm mediocre at best.
I love listening to you play.
Oh, thanks, Charlie. Yeah. So, what are you up to now then?
Oh, I should probably get to bed. I have a lot of work to do tomorrow.
Well, good night then.
I would stay out. It's just that I've really been struggling on the script right now. I've been thinking about it too small, just writing it like a story about LaRoche. That's not enough. I mean, I wanted to write about flowers. Anyway, I can't figure it out, and I haven't been sleeping very well lately, so I thought I should get home and try to get a good night's sleep, you know, start fresh in the morning. Otherwise, I'd stay out.
I understand. I hope you figure it out, Charlie. I really do.
Thanks. Thanks for coming out with me and everything.
Sure, it was fun.
So, anyway, I have to go to Santa Barbara next weekend for this orchid show up there. I thought maybe you could come.
No, I don't think I can make it next weekend. I don't think I can. I've got something. Sorry.
Okay. So, well, okay then. So, good night then.
Good night.
Why didn't I go in? I'm such a chicken. I'm such an idiot. I should have kissed her and blown it. I should just go and knock on her door right now and kiss her. It would be romantic. Something we could someday tell our kids. I'm gonna do that right now.
Hey!
Hey,
I want you to know this van's a piece of shit, but when it hits the jackpot, I'll buy myself an awesome car. Hey, what are you driving?
It's a rental. Huh? It's a Lumina.
Awesome. I think I'll get one of those too. There we go. Where do these people learn to drive, huh? World's insane.
So, I was impressed to hear how accomplished you are in the world of horticulture.
Yeah, look, the thing you gotta know is, my whole life is looking for a goddamn profitable plant, see, and that's a ghost.
Why the ghost orchid?
what? The sucker's rare. I'm the only one in the world who knows how to cultivate it. See, the idea was to get the Indians to pull it from the swamp. As I researched it, as long as I don't touch the plant, Florida can't touch us. And I stopped future poaching by making the flowers readily available in stores. I'm a hero. Flowers are saved. La Roche and nature win.
Oh, okay.
Did you get that last part?
Yeah, I sure did.
Orchids are the sexiest flowers on earth. The name orchid derives from the Latin orcus, which means testicle.
Hey, Charles, I pitched my screenplay on Mom.
Don't say pitch.
Sorry. Anyway, she said it was Silence of the Lambs meets Psycho.
Hey, well, maybe you guys could collaborate. I hear Mom's really good with structure.
So how come Amelia doesn't come around anymore? Did you put the moves on her or something?
I'm looking for John LaRoche. Hi. Hi. I'm writing an article on John, and I stopped by. I hoped I could see him.
John's not here today.
Oh. Well, you were at the swamp with him, weren't you? I saw you at the courthouse.
Yes.
I know.
I'm Matthew Osceola.
This is Norlene. Nice to meet you. Maybe I could talk to you for a second.
I'm just trying to get a feel for the whole lot.
Very beautiful day.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I just watched it this morning. I just used a new conditioner.
I can see a sadness. It's lovely.
Well, I'm just tired, that's all. That's my problem. So maybe we could chat a little bit and... You know, I could get some background.
I'm not going to talk to you much. It's not personal. It's the Indian way.
I'm Greg Francesco Padale. Beauty. God. Darwin wrote about this one. Charles Darwin, evolution guy. Hello.
Yeah.
You see that nectary all the way down there? Darwin hypothesized a moth with a nose 12 inches long to pollinate it. Everyone thought he was a loon. And sure enough, they found this moth with a 12-inch proboscis. Proboscis means nose, by the way.
I know what proboscis means.
Hey, let's not get off the subject. This isn't a pissing contest. The point is, what's so wonderful... that every one of these flowers has a specific relationship with the insect that pollinates it.
There's a certain orchid that looks exactly like a certain insect, so the insect is drawn to this flower. It's double, it's soulmate. And wants nothing more than to make love to it. After the insect flies off, it spots another soulmate flower and makes love to it, thus pollinating it. And neither the flower nor the insect will ever understand the significance of their lovemaking. And how could they know that because of their little dance, the world lives? But it does. By simply doing what they're designed to do, something large and magnificent happens. In this sense, they show us how to live, how the only barometer you have is your heart. Now, when you spot your flower, you can't let anything get in your way.
Ha 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 ha!
He's really quite a character. No front teeth. Doesn't seem to bother him at all.
Why doesn't he get them fixed? It seems almost sociopathic to make everybody look at that.
Somebody gives a great blowjob, eh?
He is a fascinating character.
Sounds like a gold mine.
Oh, it could be. I don't know. You know, he's, he lives with his dad. He's obsessed with his dead mother. And, oh, he wears his sunglasses all a little dingle-dangle around his neck.
Tell him about the van.
Okay, the van, I can't tell, but the van got pee.
No, no, stay no, 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 no,
no, no, no, no, no, Don't tell them.
Okay, the van.
Hey,
this van was filled with junk.
Shut up!
Shovel, food wrappers, fertilizer. Susie said she hoped it was fertilizer. I'm sure. LaRoche had a certain aromatic look about it. And she said, oh, she said that perhaps his obsessiveness didn't leave room in his schedule for personal hygiene. Maybe the orchids got all the available water.
I wanted to want something as much as people wanted these plants. But it isn't part of my constitution. I suppose I do have one unembarrassed passion. I want to know what it feels like to care about something passionately. Should one be lucky enough to see a ghost orchid, all else will seem eclipsed. If the ghost orchid was really a phantom, it was still such a bewitching one that it could seduce people to pursue it year after year, and mile after miserable mile. If it was a real flower, I wanted to see one. The reason was not that I love orchids. I don't even especially like orchids. What I wanted was to see this thing that people were drawn to in such a singular and powerful way.
So, how many turtles did you end up collecting?
Oh, I lost interest right after that.
Oh.
I dropped turtles when I fell in love with Ice Age fossils. Collected the shit out of them. And fossils were the only thing that made sense to me in this fucked up world. There's fossils for silver and old mirrors. Mom and I had the largest collection of 19th century Dutch mirrors on the planet. Perhaps you read about us. Mirror World, October 88. I got a copy here somewhere.
I guess I'd just like to know how you can detach from something that you've invested so much of your soul in. I mean, didn't you ever miss turtles, the only thing that made your 10-year-old life worth living?
Look, I'll tell you a story, all right? I once fell deeply, you know, profoundly in love with tropical fish. I had 60 goddamn fish tanks in my house. I skin-dived to find just the right ones. Anisotramus virginicus, Holocanthus ciliaris, Chaetodon capistratus, you name it. Then one day I say, fuck fish. I renounce fish. I vow never to set foot in that ocean again. That's how much fuck fish. That was 17 years ago, and I have never since stuck so much as a toe in that ocean. And I love the ocean.
But why?
Done with fish.
If you really loved something, wouldn't a little bit of it linger? Evidently, LaRoche's finishes were downright and absolute. He just moved on. I sometimes wished I could do the same.
Good afternoon. So it looks good today.
The key lime pie, please. A small slice. And a coffee, please. Skim milk, please.
Orchids. I love orchids.
Oh, cool. That's... Huh.
Well, I'll be right back with your pie. I'm so excited. I've always wanted to come to an orchid show. I think these flowers are so sexy. Let's see what's around back.
What?
You want to hear my pitch?
Go away, goddammit.
You know, I'm just trying to do something. Hey, thanks a lot, buddy. Cool. Okay, there's a serial killer, right? Well, no, wait. And he's being hunted by a cop. And he's taunting the cop, right? Sending clues who his next victim is. He's already holding her hostage in his creepy basement. So the cop gets obsessed with figuring out her identity and in the process falls in love with her. Even though he's never even met her. She becomes like the unattainable, like the Holy Grail.
It's a little obvious, don't you think?
Okay, but here's the twist. We find out that the killer really suffers from multiple personality disorder. Right? See, he's actually really the cop and the girl. All of them are him. Isn't that fucked up?
The only idea more overused than serial killers is multiple personality. On top of that, you explore the notion that cop and criminal are really two aspects of the same person. See every cop movie ever made for other examples of this.
Mom called it psychologically taught.
The other thing is, there's no way to write this. Did you consider that? I mean, how could you have somebody held prisoner in a basement and working in a police station at the same time?
Trick photography.
Okay, that's not what I'm asking. Listen closely. What I'm asking is, in the reality of this movie, where there's only one character, right? Okay? How could you... What exactly would... I agree with Mom. Very taut. Sybil meets, I don't know, Dress to Kill.
Cool. I really like Dress to Kill. Until the third act denouement.
That's not how it's pronounced.
Sorry. Sorry. Hi.
Hey. Some key lime pie for you today?
Okay, yeah. That sounds great.
I'll cut you an extra large slice for a customer.
Thank you. That's really sweet of you.
Well, I'm just a sweetie, ain't I? Still reading about orchids, I hope.
Yes, I am.
This friend of mine has this little tiny pink one that grows on a tree branch just like that. I can't remember.
That's what's called an epiphyte.
Right! Right! Boy, you know your stuff.
No, not really. I'm just learning. Epiphytes grow on trees, but they're not parasites. They get all their nourishment from the air and the rain.
Wow, I'm impressed. That's great.
There are more than 30,000 kinds of orchids in the world.
Wow, that's a lot, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'll be right back with an extra large slice of key lime pie for my orchid expert.
But, so anyway, I was also wondering... I'm going up to Santa Barbara this Saturday for an orchid show, and I...
Oh...
I'm sorry.
Well,
I apologize.
So I'll just be right back with your pie then.
There are more than 30,000 known orchid species. One looks like a turtle. One looks like a monkey. One looks like an onion.
One looks like a school teacher. One looks like a gymnast. One looks like that girl in high school with creamy skin. One looks like a New York intellectual with whom we do the Sunday Times crossword puzzle in bed. One looks like a Midwestern beauty queen. One looks like Amelia. One has eyes that dance. One has eyes that contain the sadness of the world.
So I got married, and me and my beautiful new wife, my now ex-wife, bitch, opened up a nursery. People started coming out of the woodwork to ask me stuff, admire my plants, and admire me. I think some people were really spending time with me because they were lonely. And you know why I like plants?
Huh.
Because they're so mutable. Adaptation is a profound process. It means you figure out how to thrive in the world.
Yeah, but it's easier for plants. I mean, they have no memory. You know, they just move on to whatever's next. For the person, adapting is almost shameful. It's like running away.
Please don't hit on crew members, Donald.
What? The makeup girl? She was hitting on me, bro.
Just don't embarrass me, okay? I have to work with these people. I won't. Anyway, listen. I meant to ask you, I need a cool way to kill people. Don't worry for my script. I don't like that kind of stuff. Come on, man, please. You're the genius. Here you go. The killer's a literature professor. He cuts off little chunks from his victims' bodies until they die. He calls himself the deconstructionist. That's kind of good. I like that.
See, I was kidding, Donald.
Oh, okay. Sorry. You got me. Do you mind if I use it, though?
I tried to split the Cassie scene in half from the beginning to the end.
I know, I saw that. Why did you do that?
Because I wanted there to be more tension, you know?
That's
and then
good.
You pick it up later.
Keep
more tension. That way you the audience gets stuck in early on.
Yeah.
Right?
I really
like it. You look hot tonight, baby.
Well,
to say. Don't you think she's hot, bro? I'm heading home, Donald.
Really?
Come on. Hey, it's Amelia. Hey, Amelia.
Hey. Hey, Charlie.
Hey, hi there.
God, Amelia, we don't see you anymore. What happened to you?
See you.
Oh, this is my girlfriend, Caroline. She's a makeup artist for the movies.
Hi. Hi. This is David, my friend.
Hi. Hey, nice to meet you. Amelia's talked a lot about you.
Hi, I'm Donald.
Caroline.
Hey, cool camera.
So how are you?
Yeah, thanks.
You know me, a mess.
Oh, it's really good to see you. Is the work good?
It's a disaster. I don't know what I'm doing. But anyway, it's my problem. I don't want to bore you. You have your own stuff, right? I mean, we both have our own separate stuff. Anyway, I should go. I was just heading home to do some work. You coming? No, man. I'm going to stay at Caroline's tonight. A little push in the bush.
You're such a
See you, Charlie.
To write about a flower, to dramatize a flower, I have to show the flower's arc, and the flower's arc stretches back to the beginning of life. How did this flower get here? What was its journey?
Therefore, I should infer from analogy that probably all the organic beings which have ever lived on this earth have descended from some one primordial form into which life was first breathed.
It is a journey of evolution, adaptation. The journey we all take. A journey that unites each and every one of us. Darwin writes that we all come from the very first single cell organism. Yet here I am. And there's LaRoche. And there's Orlean. And there's the ghost orchid. All trapped in our own bodies, in moments in history. That's it. That's what I need to do. Tie all of history together.
Start right before life begins on the planet. All is lifeless. And then life begins. With organisms. Those little single-cell ones. Oh, and it's before sex, because, like, everything was asexual. From there, we go to bigger things. Jellyfish. And then that fish that got legs on it and crawled out on the land, and then we see, you know, like, dinosaurs. And then they're around for a long, long time. And then an asteroid comes and thwart
the insects, the smitten mammals, the primates, monkeys, the simple monkeys, the old-fashioned monkeys getting away, the new monkeys, whatever, and then apes, whatever, and man. Then we see the whole history of human civilization, hunting and gathering, farming, war, love, religion, heartache, disease, loneliness, technology. We bring it all the way to this moment in history and end with Susan Orlean in her office at the New Yorker writing about flowers, and bang, the movie begins. This is great. This is the breakthrough I've been hoping for. He's never been done before. You see, he talks everything.
He is a genius.
He's perfect.
And hilarious. He just comes up with all these great jokes and everybody laughs. But he's serious too, Charles. You'd love him. He's all for originality, just like you. But he says we have to realize that we all write in a genre. And we must find our originality within that genre. See, it turns out there hasn't been a new genre since Fellini invented the mockumentary. My genre's thriller. What's yours?
You and I share the same DNA. Is there anything more lovely than that?
What'd you say, bro?
Yeah.
Hey.
Hey, Suzy Q. What are you up to?
Well, I don't want to bother you. Just thought I'd call and get some more info. I think you say some pretty smart things, John.
Yeah, smartest guy I know, huh?
So, whatever happened to your nursery?
It was going pretty well. But, you know, sometimes bad things happen, darkness descends.
Nursery business good, Johnny?
Everything's good, Uncle Jim. Last year's been a dream. I'm telling you. Finally pulling out of debt.
Amen, honey. I'm so proud of you, too.
I killed my mom, you know, and my uncle. That's how I lost my front teeth. And my wife was in a coma for like 3 weeks. And she divorced me, you know, soon after she regained consciousness.
Well, I think if I almost died, I would leave my marriage, too.
Why?
Because I could. Because it's like a free pass. Nobody can judge you if you almost died.
Well, I judged her. Maybe I was being judged too. It was like a month after that, King Andrew came along and just swooped down like an angel of God and just wiped out everything I had left. Everything. But I knew it'd break my heart to start another nursery, so, you know, when the Seminoles called, they wanted a white guy or an expert to get their nursery going, I took the job. I wasn't going to give them a conventional little potted plant place. I was going to give them something amazing, you know?
Yeah, I know, John. I know.
I was going to give them something amazing. It's beautifully written. Such a unique voice.
Thank you very much.
We're big fans.
Oh, thank you.
La Roche is such a fun character.
Yeah.
It's funny and fresh. And sad in a way. So we were wondering what's next.
Well, Random House has asked me to expand it into a book, so I'm going to be doing that.
Susan, we would really like to option this.
You want to make it into a movie?
Into a movie.
Oh, God. That's really...
How does that sound?
That's very exciting.
Good.
It's just comical. I mean, I hadn't thought of it. I've never written a screenplay before, so...
Oh, don't worry about that. We have screenwriters to write the screenplay.
Hey, superstar. It's Barney, super agent. I just want to remind you, it's been 13 weeks, and Valerie's anxious to see a draft. So if you could wrap things up, get it to her by Monday, that'd be great. Call me when you get this. Adios, amigo.
What'd she laugh at?
You're a genius.
Which line?
You're a genius. You're a genius.
We see orchid hunter Augustus Margery. He wears a filthy spittle-soaked rag around his head to quell the excruciating pain. The back of his trousers are stained greasy black from an anal leakage due to dysentery. He moans with each tentative step through the sickeningly overgrown jungle. I'm fucked.
Okay, we open with LaRoche. He's funny. Okay, he says, I love to mutate plants. He says, mutation is fun. Okay, we show flowers and, okay, we have to have the court case. Okay, we show LaRoche. Okay, he says, I was mutated as a baby. That's why I'm so smart. That's funny. Okay, we open at the beginning of time. No, okay, we open with LaRoche driving into the swamp.
Hey, the white man.
No!
I don't know how to adapt this. I mean, I should have just stuck with my own stuff. I don't know why I thought I could write this. But what,
see her? I fucked her up the ass. No, not kidding. Maybe I can help. It's about flowers.
Okay. But it's not only about flowers, right? I mean, you have the crazy plant nut guy, right? He's funny, right?
There's not nearly enough of him to fill a book. So Orlean digresses in long passages, blah, blah, blah. No narrative really unites these passages. New York Times book review. I can't structure this. It's that sprawling New Yorker shit.
Oh, man. I'd fuck her up the ass.
The book has no story. There's no story.
All right. Make one up. I mean, nobody in this town can make up a crazy story like you. You're the king of that.
No, I didn't want to do that this time. It's someone else's material. I have a responsibility to Susan. Anyway, I wanted to grow as a writer. I wanted to do something simple. Show people how amazing flowers are.
Are they amazing?
I don't know. I think they are.
I need you to get me out of this. Charlie, you've been stringing them along for months now. Not to give them anything at this point would be a terrible career move.
Hey, my script's going amazing. Right now, I'm working on an image system. Because of my multiple personality theme, I've chosen the motif of broken mirrors to show my protagonist's fragmented self. Bob says an image system greatly increases the complexity of an aesthetic emotion. Bob says...
You sound like you're in a cult.
No, it's just good writing technique. I made you a copy of McKee's Ten Commandments. I posted one over both our work areas.
You shouldn't have done that.
Because it's extremely helpful. Hey, Charles, I'm putting a song in. Happy Together. Like when characters sing pop songs in their pajamas and dance around. I thought it'd be a nice way to break the tension. At first I was nervous about putting a song in a thriller. But Bob says that Casablanca, one of the greatest screenplays ever written, did exactly that. Mixed genres.
I haven't slept in a week, Donald. I need to go to bed.
Oh, okay. Good night.
Yeah.
Hi, John, it's Susan again.
Hey, Susie Q.
How's it going?
Great. I'm training myself on the internet. It's fascinating. I'm doing pornography. It's amazing how much these suckers will pay for photographs of chicks. Doesn't matter if they're fat or ugly or what.
Well, that sounds good.
No, it's great is what it is.
Listen, John, I hate feeling like I'm being a pain to you, but I still haven't seen a ghost.
Yeah.
And I was hoping maybe you'd...
Yeah. Yeah, I'll take you in. Tomorrow.
Really? Oh, thank you so much. Oh, John.
Damn it.
There are too many ideas and things and people, too many directions to go. I was starting to believe the reason it matters to care passionately about something is that it whittles the world down to a more manageable size.
Such sweet, sad insights. So true. I'll disappoint you. You've written a beautiful book. I can't sleep. I'm losing my hair. I'm fat and repulsive.
Shh, you're not. You're not. Just whittle it down. Now, focus on one thing in the story. Find that one thing you care passionately about, and then write about that.
We see Susan Orlean, delicate, haunted by loneliness, fragile, beautiful.
She lies awake next to a sleeping, insensitive husband. Her voiceover begins. I suppose I do have one unembarrassed passion. I want to know how it feels to care about something passionately.
Hey.
Morning. Hey, you two. Up early for a change. You seem chipper. I'm good. I have some new ideas.
God, you guys are so smart. It's like a brain factory in here.
I got some ideas, too, this morning.
You got really, really good ones. You know, in a Donald sort of way.
I'm putting in a chase sequence. So the killer flees on horseback with the girl, the cops after them on a motorcycle. And it's like a battle between motors and horses, like technology versus horse. And there's still all one person, right?
Well, that's a big payoff.
Sounds exciting. Thanks, man. Thanks.
See, I told you you were going to like it.
You're my muse. You are.
I love being your muse.
I'm so happy about that. I'm picking up an order for Kaufman.
Hey, coincidence bumping into me.
I'm sorry I didn't call you back. I was away last week. I planned to.
That's okay.
I meant to because things are going really well now,
uh-huh.
And I wanted to let you know.
Oh, well, that's great. I mean, okay. I'm really anxious to
Good.
See something, but listen,
Good.
You should sit down because I'm here with Susan right now. And she's dying to meet you, so it's so funny bumping into you.
Susan Orlean is here?
Yeah, she's here in town for reading or something. Anyway, she's just on the phone. Sit down, have a seat. She's dying to meet you.
Oh, well, I should probably go, because, well, I'd love to meet her, too,
uh-huh.
But I don't want to be beholden, and
uh-huh.
Well, because once you meet somebody that you've already been writing about,
uh-huh.
It becomes very hard to separate,
uh-huh.
So, well, okay, well, I'll speak to you soon, and I'm almost done,
okay.
I'm almost done,
okay.
And please tell Susan that I would love to meet with her at a future day,
uh-huh.
As she sees fit.
Okay.
Who am I kidding? This is not Susan Lane's story. I have no connection with her. I can't even meet her. I can't meet anyone. I have no understanding of anything outside of my own panic and self-loathing and pathetic little existence. It's like the only thing I'm actually qualified to write about is myself and my own self.
We open on Charlie Kaufman. Fat, old, bald, repulsive, sitting in a Hollywood restaurant across from Valerie Thomas. A lovely, statuesque film executive. Kaufman, trying to get a writing assignment. Wanting to impress her. Sweats profusely. Fat, bald Kaufman paces furiously in his bedroom. He speaks into his handheld tape recorder and he says, Charlie Kaufman, fat, bald, repulsive, old, sits at a Hollywood restaurant with Valerie Thomas.
Kaufman, repugnant, ridiculous, jerks off to the book jacket photo of Susan Orlean.
Clark, what do you want? I finished my script. I'm done. So would you show it to your agent? It's called The Three. Thanks. I also want to thank you for your idea. It was very helpful. I changed it a little. Now the killer cuts off body pieces and makes his victims eat them. It's kind of like Caroline has this great tattoo of a snake swallowing its own tail. And
Ouroboros.
I don't know what that means.
The snake, it's called Ouroboros.
I don't think so. But anyway, it's cool for my killer to have this modus operandi, because at the end, when he forces the woman who's really him to eat herself, he's also eating himself to death.
I'm insane. I'm Ouroboros.
I don't know what that word means.
I've written myself into my screenplay.
That's kind of weird, huh?
It's self-indulgent. It's narcissistic. It's solipsistic. It's pathetic. I'm pathetic. I'm fat and pathetic.
I'm sure you had good reasons, Charles. You're an artist.
The reason is because I'm too timid to speak to the woman who wrote the book. Because I'm pathetic. Because I have no idea how to write. Because I can't make flowers fascinating. Because I suck.
Am I in the script?
I'm going to New York.
I'll meet her. That's it. That's what I have to do.
Don't get mad at me for saying this, Charles, but Bob's having a seminar in New York this weekend, so if you're stuck...
I just said, oh, LaRoche is such a fun character.
No shit, I'm a fun character. Who's going to play me?
Oh, well, I've got to write the book first, John, and then, you know, if they get somebody to write the screenplay.
Hey, I think I should play me.
Most people yearn for something exceptional, something so inspiring that they'd want to risk everything for that passion, but few would act on it. It was very powerful and it's intoxicating to be around someone so alive.
Come on, just follow me. They're right nearby.
Can I ask you a personal question?
Look, we're not lost. I've done this a million times. When everything's killing me, I just say, screw it, and go straight ahead. Sundial. I just set this up. We'll wait a few minutes, and then we'll be able to tell which way the sun's moving. We should be headed southeast. So, you collect anything?
Not really, no.
Yeah, well, you know, it's not really about collecting the thing. It's about being able to... You know, the thing about computers, the thing I like is that I'm immersed in them, but... It's not like a living thing that's going to leave or die or something.
John, I'm sorry. I...
Okay.
Don't...
Hey. Okay. Fuck the sundial. I know how to get out of here. I know this swamp like the back of my goddamn hand. You're just like everybody else. Fucking leeches. You just attach yourself to me and... Suck me dry, spit me out. You know, why don't you get your own fucking life, your own fucking interest? Fucking spoiled bitch.
Life seemed to be filled with things that were just like the ghost orchid. Wonderful to imagine and easy to fall in love with. A little fantastic and fleeting. Out of reach.
But a little fantastic and fleeting and out of reach.
Hello?
Hey, it's Marty. How's it going? Has it been helpful talking to the writer? What's her name?
Susan Orlean. It's been okay.
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, are you making headway? Valerie's breathing down my neck.
You can't rush inspiration.
Okay, all right. Fair enough. Listen, the other reason I called was the three? It's just amazing.
I don't know what that is.
Donald's script! Smart, edgy thriller. It's the best script I've read all year.
Oh. Good.
Yeah, I'm gonna sell it for a shitload. Two fucking talented guys in one family. In fact, you know, maybe you could bring your brother on to help you with the orchid thing.
Marty, don't say that.
All right, it's just a thought, buddy. I mean, he's really goddamn amazing at structure.
I have to go.
All right. Adios, amigo. Finish that.
Okay, thank you. We have a long 3 days ahead. Years from now, you'll be standing around a posh cocktail party congratulating yourself on how you spent an entire weekend locked in a room with an asshole from Hollywood for your art.
I am pathetic. I am a loser.
So, what is the substance of writing?
I have failed. I am panicked.
First,
I have sold out. I am worthless.
Last,
what the fuck am I doing here? What the fuck am I doing here? Fuck. It is my weakness, my ultimate lack of conviction that brings me here. Easy answers, rules to shortcut yourself to success. And here I am, because my jaunt into the abyss brought me nothing. Well, isn't that just the risk one takes for attempting something new? I should leave here right now. I'll start over. I need to face this project head on.
And God help you if you use voiceover in your work, my friends. God help you. It's flaccid, sloppy writing. Any idiot can write voiceover narration to explain the thoughts of a character. Okay, that's it. 1 hour for lunch. You cannot have a protagonist without desire. It doesn't make any sense. Any fucking sense. You follow? Good. Anyone else? Yes.
Sir, what if the writer is attempting to create a story where nothing much happens, where people don't change, they don't have any epiphanies, they struggle and are frustrated and nothing is resolved? More reflection of the real world.
The real world?
Yes, sir.
The real fucking world. First of all, you write a screenplay without conflict or crisis, you'll bore your audience to tears. Secondly, nothing happens in the world? Are you out of your fucking mind? People are murdered every day. There's genocide, war, corruption. Every fucking day, somewhere in the world, somebody sacrifices his life to save somebody else. Every fucking day, someone somewhere takes a conscious decision to destroy someone else. People find love. People lose it. For Christ's sake, a child watches a mother beaten to death on the steps of a church. Someone goes hungry. Somebody else betrays his best friend for a woman. If you can't find that stuff in life, then you, my friend, don't know crap about life. And why the fuck are you wasting my 2 precious hours with your movie? I don't have any use for it. I don't have any bloody use for it.
Okay, thanks.
Inspiring.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you
so much.
Yeah.
This course makes
me feel like
I'm in a school. Mr. McKee.
Yes?
I'm the guy you yelled at this morning.
I need more.
I'm the one who thought things didn't happen in life.
Right. Okay. Nice to see you.
I need to talk. Mr. McKee, my even standing here is very scary. I don't meet people well. But what you said this morning shook me to the bone. What you said was bigger than my screenwriting choices. It was about my choices as a human being. Please.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I could sure use a drink, my friend.
But a little fantastic and fleeting and out of reach.
Then what happens?
That's the end of the book. I wanted to present it simply, without big character arcs or sensationalizing the story. I wanted to show flowers as God's miracles. I wanted to show that Orly never saw the blooming ghost orchid. It was about disappointment.
I see. That's not a movie. You gotta go back. Put in the drama.
I can't go back. I've got pages of false starts and wrong approaches. I'm way past my deadline.
Tell you a secret. The last act makes a film. Wow them in the end. You got a hit. You can have flaws, problems, but wow them in the end. And you've got a hit. Find an ending. But don't cheat. And don't you dare bring in a deus ex machina. Your characters must change. And the change must come from them. Do that, and you'll be fine.
You promise? This is the key.
Have you taken my course before?
My brother did. My twin brother, Donald. He's the one who got me to come.
Twin screenwriter?
Yeah.
Well, Julius and Philip Epstein wrote Casablanca. They were twins.
You mentioned that in class.
Finest screenplay ever written.
Great writer's residence.
Donald.
Hey, how's your trip going? You getting on with that lady journalist? You dog, you?
Yeah. Listen, I'm just calling to say congratulations on your script.
Isn't that cool? Marty says he can get me like high sixes against a mil five.
That's great, Donald. I want to thank you for all your help.
I wasn't any help.
Oh, come on. You let me stay in your place. And your integrity inspired me to even try. It's been a wild ride. Catherine says she really wants to play Cassie.
Oh, please. Please, Donna.
Catherine Keener?
Catherine Keener's in my house?
Yeah, we're playing Boggle. She's so great. You should really hang out with her, Charles.
Yeah, look. I've been thinking. Maybe you'd be interested in hanging out with me for a few days in New York.
Oh, my God, yes.
Yeah? I was going to show my script to some people, and maybe you can read it too, you know, if you like.
Of course, I'd be flattered.
Okay.
Thanks, Charles.
Okay, bye.
So, like, what would you do?
Script kind of makes fun of me, huh?
I'm sorry. I was trying something.
Hey, I don't mind. It's funny.
Oh, good. Okay. So, what would you do?
You and me are so different, Charles. We're different talents.
I know. Just for fun, how would the great Donald end the script?
Shut up. The great Donald. I feel like you're missing something.
All right, like what?
Look. Did a little research on the airplane. Sometimes this kind of story turns out to be something more. Some glimpse of life that expands like those Japanese paper balls you drop in water, and they bloom into flowers. And the flower is so marvelous, you can't believe there was a time all you saw in front of you was a paper ball and a glass of water. Well, first of all, that's inconsistent. She said that she didn't care about flowers.
For God's sake, it's just a metaphor.
Well, but for what? What turned that paper ball into a flower? It's not in the book, Charles.
I don't know. You're reaching.
Maybe, but I think you actually need to speak to this woman, to know her.
I can't. Really?
I'll go. I'll pretend I'm you.
I want to do it, Charles. We'll get to the bottom of this. We're going to fix your movie, bro.
But you've got to be exactly me. I have a reputation to maintain. You can't be a goofball. You can't be an asshole.
I'm not an asshole.
You know what I mean. No flirting. No bad jokes. Don't laugh how you laugh.
I'm not going to laugh. I get to have people think I'm you. It's an honor.
So, I guess I'll bring out the big guns now. Do you keep in touch with LaRoche? The reason I ask is that I felt I detected an attraction to him in the subtext. Care to comment?
Well, our relationship was strictly reporter-subject. I mean, certainly an intimacy does evolve in this kind of relationship. By definition, I was so interested in everything he had to say. But the relationship ends when the book ends.
Mendacious deceit.
What?
Nothing. I just have one more question. If you could have dinner with one historical personage, living or dead, who would it be?
Well, I would have to say Einstein or Jesus.
Very good. Interesting answer.
She's lying.
What do you mean? What happened?
Nothing. She said everything right. Too right.
Well, maybe they're too right because they're true.
Did you embarrass me?
People who answer questions too right are liars, and everybody says Jesus and Einstein. That's a prepackaged answer.
What do you mean, Jesus and Einstein?
Listen, Charles, I have an idea. Then you can buy me a pair of binoculars.
What's Jesus and Einstein? Imagine me and you. I do. Come on. I think about you day and night. It's only right. Come on. Sing with me. To think about the one you love and hold her tight. So happy together.
What the hell do you need binoculars for?
Let's go. Let's go.
Shout on the phone. She's upset.
Stop watching her. Leave her alone.
She's crying.
She's at her computer.
This is morally reprehensible.
United to Miami, 11:55 a.m. tomorrow.
I thought she was done with LaRoche.
Her parents live in Florida, Donald.
That was no parent phone call, my friend.
Don't say my friend.
The guy entering. Handsome.
Must be her husband.
She's acting weird with him, though, right?
Don't you think?
What's she hiding from him?
Maybe she's a lesbian and doesn't know how to tell him. What do you think?
Have you checked out LaRoche's porn site?
No, I'm trying to read.
Anyway, I'm going to look at the porn site.
Research.
Don't tell my old lady.
You mean Mom?
No, I don't mean Mom.
I still say we should go to Miami tomorrow.
Forget it.
Some of these chicks look okay.
Hey, guess what?
We're going to Miami tomorrow.
I said no.
I said, oh yeah, baby, come here.
Understand is that change is not a choice, not for a species of plant, not for me. It happens, and you are different.
Like everybody else.
Maybe the only distinction between the plant and me is that afterward I lied about my change. I lied in my book. I pretended with my husband that everything was the same, but something happened in the swamp that day.
Hey, look! I told you I'd find the jewel of the Fakahatchee.
I'm It's the flower. Flower.
Well, I might as well grab it. As long as I'm here.
Boy, my porn site's gonna be big. Look, something I didn't tell you that I won't tell you about the ghost, okay? I think it might help you. I just started at the nursery and I went back one night to pick up something. Just to extract a drug. It had been a ceremonial thing. The young guys, you know, they like to get stoned.
So Matthew? He was one of the guys?
Sure. Matthew lived on that shit till they ran out.
Because there was this one day he was fascinated by me, by my hair. Sadness.
Yeah, well, it does that. That's what I wanted to tell you. And I think you'd like it, Susie. It seems to help people be fascinated. You know, I could extract it for you. I know how. I watched. I'm probably the only white guy who knows. But I want to do this, Susie.
I'm done with work at Rush.
John, did you give my package?
John? John! John. Hey, John?
Yeah?
Very happy now.
Well, I'm glad.
Very happy. John?
Hmm.
You go like this. No, keep going. Make a dial tone, and you have to sustain, and then I will join you, and together. See, I can't do it by myself.
Okay, which one do you want me to do?
Yes, yes, yes.
Here we go. We got it.
We got it. That's fucking amazing. Do you ever get lonely sometimes, Johnny?
I was a weird kid. Nobody liked me. But I had this idea. If I waited long enough, someone would come around and just, you know, understand me. Like my mom. Except someone else. She'd look at me and quietly say, yes. Just like that. And I wouldn't be alone anymore.
I wish I were an ant. Oh, they're so shiny.
You're shinier than any ant, darling.
That's the sweetest thing anybody has ever said to me.
Well, I like you, that's why.
Oh.
something.
Hey! Fuck! No! Hey! Get in here! Shut the fuck up! Now! Shut the fuck down!
Who is that, John?
Who the fuck are you?
I just...
Nobody.
Huh?
I just...
Wait a minute. You know who the... He's the screenwriter.
What, the guy that's adapted our book?
Yeah.
That's wild. It's nice to meet you. Hey, dude, who's gonna play me?
I don't know that.
I thought I should play me.
Why? Did he follow me?
No, of course not. I should go.
Yeah. I mean, it was nice to meet you, but, let me give you my number.
I'm really freaking here, Johnny. Why is he here? Why did he follow me? What did he know?
I don't know anything about anything.
I didn't see the greenhouse.
Oh, shit. Are you going to write about this in your screenplay?
I really don't know what this is.
Oh, he's lying.
Hold it. Say, just... Susie, you gotta calm down. You're getting a little emotional, and you don't know what.
You have him writing about me. I can't have the whole all the people knowing about us, about this.
Why are you ashamed of me, Susie?
No, that's not it. No, how can you even think of that? I'm a professional journalist, and the drugs.
Susie. We can't kill anyone.
Okay. Then I'll do it. By myself.
Susie! Hey! Come on, Spartan! Get out!
Look, I wasn't looking
for you. You have any guns!
Guy.
Yeah. Fast.
Now, this is ridiculous. We're gonna have to split up.
You're gonna find us.
I don't think so.
I don't want to die, Donald. I've wasted my life. God, I've wasted it.
You did not. And you're not gonna die.
I wasted it. I admire you, Donald, you know? I spent my whole life paralyzed, worrying about what people think of me. And you, you're just oblivious.
I'm not oblivious.
No, you don't understand. I mean that as a compliment. It was this time in high school. I was watching you at the library window. You were talking to Sarah Marsh.
Oh, God, I was so in love with her.
I know. And you were flirting with her. And she was being really sweet to you.
I remember that.
And then, when you walked away, she started making fun of you with Kim Kennedy. And it was like they were laughing at me. You didn't know it all? You seem so happy.
I knew. I heard them.
Well, how come you were so happy?
I love Sarah, Charles.
It was mine.
That love.
I owned it. Even Sarah didn't have the right to take it away. I can love whoever I want.
She thought you were pathetic.
That was her business, not mine. You are what you love, not what loves you. That's what I decided a long time ago. What's up? Thank you.
John! God. He's not fucked up.
Shut up. Stop laughing. Donald, you're gonna be okay. It's gonna be okay, Donald. Just don't go to sleep. Just don't go to sleep, Donald. Look at me. Look at me, Donald. Keep looking at me. Open your eyes. Donald, please open your eyes. Donald, please. Please. Please open your eyes. Donald. Donald, open your eyes. Imagine me and you. I do. I think about you day and night. It's only right to think about the one you love and hold you tight. So happy together. Imagine me and you. I do. And I'm gonna kill him. You put yourself in.
Hello? Hello?
Mom?
Charles? Charles, is that you? Charles, what's the matter? You okay?
Getting on.
I'm okay. I miss him, you know.
How's the script coming?
It's good. I'm almost finished. I'll be really glad to move on to something else.
Love it.
Things okay with you?
And then in January, Dave and I went to Prague. Oh, that was a high point.
Well, that sounds great.
Yeah, there's amazing puppet theater there.
Yeah, I've heard. I've got to see that.
Yeah, and there's this church decorated with, like, human skulls and bones. 4,000 skulls and bones. What about you in the wind there? I'm with someone. Why are you doing this now?
I love you.
I should go. I have to do stuff I have to do. I'm going away this week and a million things, okay?
To go right home. I know how to finish the script now. It ends with Kaufman driving home after his lunch with Amelia, thinking he knows how to finish the script. Shit, that's voiceover. McKee would not approve. How else can I show his thoughts? I don't know. Oh, who cares what McKee says? It feels right. Conclusive. I wonder who's going to play me. Someone not too fat. I like that Gerard Depardieu, but can he not do the accent? Anyway. It's done, and that's something. So, Kaufman drives off from his encounter with Amelia, filled for the first time with hope. I like this. This is good.
Imagine me and you, I do. I think about you day and night. It's only right to think about the girl you love and hold her tight. So happy together. So happy together. How is the weather?